You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. And as we talk about all that's going on in this world, right? And there is a lot going on. We, at this show, like to lean local. What's going on here in the local community? And there is a lot going on, right? We talk about economic development, and obviously we talked last week a lot about the NFL draft, and we talk about what's going on with the infrastructure and all the natural resources that we're working on here. But you know, when you think about it, there's really nothing more important than our educational system here locally. And we just came off a school board election. I don't know if contentious is the right word, but it was competitive, right? We had a number of people running for just three seats that were chosen. And we invited Alex Minow in here, who actually, he's, if you're a listener to the show, he ran last year and came up just a few votes short. And a lot of people, when they run, they're like, I guess it wasn't for me. And you rolled up your sleeves and said, you know what? I'm going back at it. I'm going to run again. And you did, and you won. And it's interesting when I read about you and kind of followed you, watched you in this race. Not that you were an outsider, but some of your opponents had different endorsements than you did. I think you came at it from a little different angle than they did. And I want to get to that in just a minute. But for the listeners, and I think they know this, but I just want to set the stage. When we get our tax bills, people, man, that's high. Well, when you look at your tax bill, you know, you got your municipal taxes, right? The city, then you've got the county, you got some NWTC taxes in there, and the school. And the school is the largest portion of your tax bill. Sometimes I don't think people realize that because, you know, serving as mayor, people get their tax bill and, you know, they call and raise hell. And I'm like, go get your tax bill. And do you have your tax bill in front of you? No, no. I said, well, go get it. And they would look at it and I'd say, look, you know, actually the city taxes maybe went up 1%, 2%. You look at the other tax portions. And I always wanted it, but the city could have sent out their own tax bill and the school sent out their own tax bill, but you know, they have to put them all together. And when people see that, and I'm fine with spending a lot of money on education as long as it works. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind spending money on roads. You know, you can tax me on roads as long as we have good roads, and you can tax me on a lot of stuff as long as it works. It's when it doesn't work and you're taxing me, that's when I get frustrated. Anyway, the Green Bay School District it's a large school district. I mean, fourth largest in the state, but we're educating 21,000 K-12 kids in our district. And it's in the news a lot. And I think we spend a lot of time talking about buildings. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk a whole lot more about what's going on inside the buildings as we get deeper into this conversation. But I just want to welcome Alex Minow, who was recently elected on his second try, and congratulations.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. You already brought up a lot there, and it's kind of giving me, I don't even know what the right word is, almost maybe flashbacks, or it's just making my brain start to fire a lot, because there's a lot of things you just brought up there. And at the end of the day, this isn't going to go away. There's a lot that's going to be happening in the next number of years on a pretty consistent basis on a lot of different fronts regarding our school district and our community impact. That's for sure.
And I hope people get engaged in this too.
That's what I'm asking for.
Yeah, I know you do. I want to talk about your campaign a little bit. And I think you did a good job of these roundtables and reaching out to people.
It's what it's all about. And you know, at the end of the day, to connect to one of your earlier points, this is a nonpartisan position in theory, but at the end of the day, especially with the political climate right now, statewide and nationally, and just in our country, there's, I think, a little bit more involvement, especially at the more local levels, than, and you look at the voter turnout, it was extremely high. But, you know, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot pulling for people's attention. And with that, you know, my whole focus was, one, I have to make sure that I reach everybody that can be reached in every capacity, in every manner, because typically people don't know what's going on with school board. Even if they're paying attention to every other politics, they don't know. And so that was one big thing. And the other thing is, as a nonpartisan position, and with who I am and the way that I have always looked at things, like, we are servicing every single part of our community. However you break it down, that is our job. That is what we are here to do every day, no matter what, whether I'm a coach, a teacher, or a school board member. And so you can't just block out certain groups or certain different, that's the job. You have to be there for everybody. And that was where I always put my focus, and I always will. And I think that's one of the major things that allowed me to win, because everybody feels like with me, they have a voice. They at least have somebody they can reach out to.
And it's nice to say it's nonpartisan, but on the other hand, the Supreme Court was supposed to be nonpartisan too.
Yeah, the whole idea of nonpartisan kind of is out the window for a lot of different reasons.
And I think it's temporary, but it is. Right now, it's pretty partisan. But, you know, and it's just, it's sometimes it's not the candidate, but it's the money coming in from the sides that make the candidate more partisan. My kids would always ask, you know, what's really the difference between Democrats and Republicans? And, you know, we all want good schools, safe neighborhoods, good jobs. You know what I mean? How do you do it? That's the difference. And so there's no, you know, I always say there's no, you know, Republican or Democrat way to pick up garbage, or, but you know what I mean? But yeah. You can look at cost, and there's just, you know, I'm glad my job was nonpartisan. I really feel I was pretty nonpartisan, but I don't know that those days are still there. But and I'm glad that you believe that you took that approach. And I think you probably did. I mean, I really never saw either side with you, but
I can show you a good map. If you look at Andrew Becker, current board member, he's a real data guy, and he always puts out his post election maps and shows the breakdown of where everybody, and it's really cool. I'm glad he can do that, because I'm terrible at that kind of stuff. But if you look at the map and you look at where everybody voted, where I got my votes across the whole Green Bay School District voting block, mine was as spread out as anybody's. And even if I didn't win one particular area, I had support all across the board, you know, and I'm encouraged by that, because, again, you know, and it, I don't want to say it's a mandate, that term's getting thrown around recently and to mean certain things. But what it does show is that the things that I, you know, have ran on from day one for 2 years now, two campaigns, have really not changed. And it comes from my experience in the community, in the district, and really just focusing on the issues that affect Democrats, Republicans, rich, poor, black, white. And again, there's people that want to see, we all want the same results, like you said. How we get there probably needs to change in some ways, and that some people like, and then other things need to be changed in different ways that other people like, that might not be the same people. But one thing everybody agrees on is we are not as satisfied with our school district as a whole, and so there's work to do.
There's a lot of work to do. I'm going to get to some of those numbers, and I know we elected a new superintendent, or the top dog with schools, you know, and that was, again, a pretty contentious race, and a lot of money went into that as well. And I, you know, I mean, that's our future. I mean, you want to know what your community is going to look like, you know, in 10, 15 years, look at your schools. I mean, period. So you're a young guy. I'm assuming you have, but you know, there's a lot of, I don't know if you wanted to be, obviously you wanted to do something for your community, but there's a lot of jobs out there that you know, there's city councils, there's, you're in Alloway, there's what, trustees, there's village presidents, there's county board supervisors. What attracted you or called you to the school?
You know, for me, it's pretty easy. I've, you know, as you know, and many people know at this point, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, a coach. That's where I spent the overwhelming majority of my adult life and my professional career. You know, recently I've been able to be in a position to have started a business a few years ago, and reduce my, you know, I'm not a full-time teacher anymore. But I still have that, but my business is also a caregiving business. Like, that's just kind of what I've always done. It's where my interests and my passions lie. And fundamentally, being from Green Bay my whole life, being in this community and have plans to forever be here, and being in the schools, I just know firsthand, you know, just honestly better than most people that are ever going to run a school board. I know what we're facing, where it came from, and where it is now, and where it can or will go. And I just feel the calling to work on it, because we all benefit when the school district does better, as you've kind of alluded to, and we all care about it. And if I have the skills and the resources and the time and the knowledge to do something about it, I can't sit by and not try to make things better. It's just the way I'm wired, to be quite honest.
I like that. So, you have kids?
Yes, I have two daughters, 5 and 9.
And they're in the school district, I take it.
So I have one that's finishing up pre-K, and then she'll be joining the school district next year. And then my other one she's in the school district down the road at Doty.
So it seems like you got the basis to be elected to the school board. You know what I'm saying?
I check the boxes most people are most concerned about, yeah.
I think you do. Yep. I mean, I think when you run for something, you shouldn't be a total outsider. You should have your a little bit of feet in the
You got to have skin in the game, and you also have to have, you know, reason to be invested, but also have some familiarity and some understanding of what's going on.
Yeah. I want to get to, we're going to go to a quick break. You had to run on a couple key issues. There's a gazillion issues in the school system, mm-hmm. especially when you got 21,000 kids that need, you know, kids with disabilities. There's kids that are gifted and talented. There's kids from rural areas. There's kids from the inner city, broken families, some kids with, and your job's to get them all, you know, a good education.
They all need something.
They all need something, and sometimes it's all a little bit different. It's not what one size fits all. We're going to talk about some of your overall reaching goals, and then we'll get into some more specifics a little bit later. But I'm glad you're in house here. We've got Alex Minot, who's joining us, recently elected to the Green Bay School District, had a great race and won handedly, and we're glad you're with us. We'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We have Alex Minot in house here. He was recently elected to the Green Bay School Board. Tough race, but 130,000 voters in his district, and you've got to capture the majority to win, and he did that. And how do you, I want to talk a little bit about your campaign, and I'm going to get to your issues. We have a little bit of time here, but campaigning, fundraising, you know, everything was overshadowed by the Supreme Court race. I mean, everything was. It's, you know, did you bring like Elon Musk in or anything?
No, I tried to avoid it, all that larger stuff. My full focus was being in person, meeting people where they are, and reaching as many people as possible one-on-one, and all of the different ways you can do that. That was my strategy, and that was my focus, and that's how I want the community to be engaged with us as a school board and with me, because I feel like that's a huge thing that's been missing, the community engagement and the ability to really be intertwined with what's going on in the school district.
So you knocked on doors?
Yes, a whole lot of doors.
So what did you hear? Because I don't, you know, we're kind of talking during the break. People don't really know what's going on with the school board. I'm not sure they even know what your job is. Whereas I think, you know, when the city council person shows up, they're like, you know, police, fire, Department of Public Works. I mean, they're kind of engaged a little bit. I think they know pretty much what the county board does. I mean, you got a jail, you got a mental health center, airport. You know, you guys are in charge of that stuff, you people. But school board, it's like, what do you do?
Yeah, the interesting thing is, you know, it's so momentary. And what I mean by that is when I first started walking doors in some of the earlier days of later part of winter, let's call it.
Those spring elections are tough, aren't they?
They're brutal.
I know.
You spend half your time fixing signs after they get plowed with, you know,
right.
Snowstorms. But
people don't shovel like they should, right?
It's just, you know, but you know what? I put in the work and I didn't let that stuff, you know. I was walking on West Point one day just getting hammered with sideways sleet and, you know, and then the first, that the north side of that street, I got a lot of just not great feedback and a lot of people looking at me like from inside, just like go away. And then I came back on the south side of the street, the sleet had stopped and the last 10 people I talked to were just amazing.
All right.
And, you know, but the thing is, people don't know what's going on with the school board until there's an issue, a crisis, something in the news, you know. And so at the beginning, you know, some of the DEI stuff, some of the mandates from the federal government had just hit our district. So the first street I walked, second street really, the first big long stretch I walked though, bunch of questions on that. And it really wasn't necessarily anything really local or meaningful or realistic yet at that point. And then I didn't really hear much about that at all the rest of the next month or two, once that kind of week or two of that kind of just blew over, if you will. And, you know, and it seems like year after year, if it's not something happening in the news right then, people aren't really sure what we do or what's going on, or they're not really invested yet. So,
you know, I give them a little, people need a little bit more credit. The media is not invested. See, and that's where the people get their news. I don't know that the school board is great at sending out, I know you guys send out a newsletter, but a lot of people get their news from Press Gazette, the four TV stations, and if they're not covering it, it's hard to get. I mean, although people get a lot of stuff online, but you know, here just on this Lean Local and Civic Media, we're just trying to lean into the local community a little bit more because we've lost some of that. I mean, especially like we were just talking about, right? I mean, when you got the Supreme Court race going on and you got all these things going on in the national and in international news, I mean, we need better a better vehicle of communication getting out there. But what has come up a couple times, and one of my biggest concerns with you guys was the turnover. Turnover is expensive, just financially, everybody knows that. But it, from a culture standpoint, from a confidence standpoint, and I know you haven't been on a school board. I'm not being critical of you, but you know, I like consistency in leadership.
Well, a couple things. You're not wrong. That has been one of the biggest stressors for me when I worked in the district for 13 years in every capacity. I was a coach. I was a dean of students. I was an assistant activities director. I was a department chair. Obviously, a teacher of multiple different content areas in multiple schools. And my last 6 years, maybe 7 years in the district, actually, I think is at least that, each of the two main schools I was at, we had more than 20 new staff members each year. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about principal turnover. I had 17 administrators in my 7 years at Washington. And then you factor in superintendents. It's really, really, people are really upset about results right now. Democrats, Republicans, everybody is worried about student performance. And I keep, you know, this is the perfect conversation. If you have a new teacher, new principal, new systems, new everything all the time, there's no institutional knowledge anymore. There's no carryover. There's nothing. You cannot be successful like that. And we have to do everything we can to change that if we want anything to improve.
Okay. What's interesting about you, you're seeing that from a different angle. Mm-hmm. We see it from our angle, which is like, geez. Mm-hmm. And then you guys come up with excuses like, you know, for the family or for career advancement. I don't always buy those things, but
I'm tired of excuses. And whether you look at me as an outsider now or a former insider, I'm tired of the excuses, if you want to call them that. The number one thing I've ran on, and I've always said, and I've said as a teacher, and I'll say as a board member, we have a lot of outside influences that are making public schools harder and ruining public schools. But we have a lot of things in our district that we can control, that we need to control and do better, that we haven't and that we should be focusing on going forward, because it doesn't need to be this bad if you're looking at a negative perspective. And there's plenty of positives, but there's definitely, we have to honor that we are not doing well in various ways, and people know that, and we need to stop making excuses for those things, and we need to, and that's my focus going forward.
All right, well, let's drill down on that just a little bit. Your school, you had turnovers in principals. Let's just stay there. Mm-hmm. Why?
A couple different things. I think one of the biggest things that's hurt us is I think we've been very weak in our HR department, and that's not any one person's fault, because there's been a huge variety of people running that over the years. There's been a lot of turnover there. I think it really boils down to lack of leadership in our district. Getting the right superintendent with the right priorities and the right ability to do the job, and then everything underneath, getting the right people in different departments.
Okay, they're making $200,000. That is not chump change in this community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's when the average household income is what, $58,000 or something? That's a lot of money, $200,000.
Yeah.
There's corporate execs that are, you know, that's
we're
good.
We're hiring
good.
The wrong people. We need to reprofile the type of person we hire and go about hiring that person differently. I've been very staunch on that.
But don't you hire a company to help you hire?
Not anymore, if I have anything to say about it.
Okay, because that's what you've been doing. So that, I think, is...
That's
okay.
Good. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. I mean, the best people to hire are someone who can look them in the eye and say, look, I know this community better than anybody, and this is what we're looking for. We're going to get back to that. But you're right. I think leadership, obviously, it starts at the top. And we're going to talk about how we can do a better job of finding those people, and that will filter down to the whole organization. You're listening to Alex Minot, who is a... newly elected school board leader, and we'll be right back. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are talking a local issue, one of the biggest local issues, and that's the Green Bay School District. We're here with newly elected school board member Alex Minot. And before we do, I just want to thank one of our local sponsors, and that's Nicolet Bank. You know, talk about a local community company here. You know, Nicolet Bank, they started back in 2002, and they've just really grown now. They got 57 branches in Northeast and Central Wisconsin. Of course, they're in the UP and Northern Michigan. This is just a bank that, you know, their mission statement is to serve, you know, listen to this, our mission statement is to serve our community, engage employees, build a stronger family within our organization, and have a positive impact on the lives we touch along the way. And that's what we need here in Green Bay. We need organizations, profitable organizations, the people who are working in the nonprofit world, businesses that really strive to make our local community, the greater Green Bay community, just a better place. And just no one does that better than Nicolet. And I just want to thank them for sponsoring Lean Local. And they just do pretty much every great thing that happens in Green Bay, from the city deck to the new community shelter, some of the festivals that we have here in Green Bay. You'll see Nicolet Bank's name on that, and we just appreciate what they do, the jobs they bring to our community, and the businesses that they help grow. So we want to give them a shout out. We are talking with Alex Minot here, and the school board, the school district, we spend a lot of money on that. And like I told you earlier when we started, I'm okay with that, but I like to put I like to invest money where I get a return. And not so sure I feel that way all the time about the Green Bay School District, but you can tell me if these are good numbers. In the Green Bay area school district, 28% of the elementary students tested at or above the proficient level for reading. 38% tested at or above that level for math. Also, 30% of the middle school students tested at or above proficient levels for reading, and 29% at or above that level for math. And 25% of high school students tested at or above the proficient level for reading, and 18% tested at or above the level for math. Like, that doesn't ring true. That doesn't...
It doesn't sit well no matter how you look at it.
Like, you can't spin that. Now, what you're going to say, not you, what people, well, you know what you're missing, Mayor? What you don't understand is it's only 38% white. We got 32% Hispanic, 8% Black, 8% Asian, 3% African or American Indian. Yet I read a book. You know who gave me the book? Was a teacher. And he said, don't buy that. There are schools that have even more diversity than we do, lower income than we do, that do much better than we do. And this is a while ago. So, why is that? Just, and I'm not saying, look, can it be fixed? The answer in my mind is yes.
It's definitely yes.
Okay.
You know, it's a loaded question, and so I'll give you kind of a loaded answer. But I think this is also why I also got elected, too, because I'm willing to be honest in my views, at least on all fronts. You know, there are things that might sound like excuses, you know, to start with one side, that are reality that do affect those scores. We have a, generally speaking, we have a higher, you know, population of students with disabilities, higher that don't know English, which is what the tests are in. There's all sorts of different things that do reduce results, and that is reality. However, we also have a very high incidence of behavior issues going on in our schools, in the majority of our schools and classrooms, that don't need to be there, that we can control based on policy and process and so on. And that reduces learning. And those are things that people don't talk about. But parents and family members inherently know, and so do teachers, which is what contributes to retention problems and performance problems. We've been losing kids not just because of declining, populace, school-age populace and other things, or the loss we had during COVID. We've been losing kids for a long time, and families and teachers, because of a lot of things, especially behavior related things that happen in the classroom and the chaos for various things that happen, that has a direct impact on results. So there's a lot of things.
So we're losing good kids? What do you say we're losing kids? What does that mean?
We're losing kids and families that have the means in particular to take their kids and choice and transport to another district.
All
those tend to be higher performing kids too.
Right.
So that also has an exponentially negative impact on our results, which is why you see a more precipitous decline in recent years.
Okay.
So there's a lot of minutia in all this, but they all matter when you're talking about what the numbers end up at. But again, I want to focus on the things that we can control and that do directly and indirectly lead to improved results. Because you're right. I've talked to people too who are from different parts of the country, and I've read research as well. There's plenty of places that have worse situations than us, or even similar ones where the results are better. Now, I think we're in a situation where we have some of those, in some cases though too, those districts have been settled more into their reality. We've had a lot of changes that are more recent and are still ongoing, and we constantly keep having to navigate and a less stable environment. So I think that makes it harder. But I think looking forward, there's no reason not to believe and expect that we can get better results despite any other thing you've mentioned. We can do it.
Okay. In that same vein, I'll talk about truancy.
Another thing, yeah.
And it's high.
It's really bad.
Okay. See, I think what I like about you, I don't know you all that well, but you don't really deny these problems. You know, some people I talk to and, you're missing it. Or, that's who wrote that article? That's, you know, they start, you know, butcher the author, you know, but truancy, like I know a little bit about that because I worked with it, with the judges and with the schools and with some superintendents that were here before you were. And we put a program together that kind of worked, but it was unbelievable.
This is the rub as a board member and having been a teacher in our district. I know the reality from my perspective and many others who I'm connected to in the district and their lived realities. And I'm not going to sit up here and deny that it's not a huge problem, because it is. And we've admitted it at times, you know, but at the same time, like, we have to be willing to just say what is and not be afraid of that, but also understand that it doesn't mean me or anyone else is necessarily always trying to tear the district down or make us look bad, but we can't fix a problem if we don't truly honor it. And that's how I look at things. And, you know, it's really bad, but it doesn't mean I hate our district and I want to blow it up and I'm here to wreck it. Right. I want to honor it. And then we can start fixing it. You know,
you don't admit there's a problem. There's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a lot of things. So, but yeah, okay. I'm glad to hear you say that. And I gotta believe that with, you know, the whole country with 330 million people, that some district, and what do we have? I don't know how many school districts we have.
433.
Right. Like,
four?
If we had like almost four per county or something on average. Yeah. State. The state has, it's crazy how many. But I mean, somebody has to have not figured it out totally, but doing better than we are. And I think you guys are good about sharing information, aren't you? School districts, or are you guys kind of a little secret?
It depends. I mean, you know, sometimes we do a better job of sharing some information and sometimes we don't share other information.
No.
You know, we have a very mixed record on that. And the public knows that too. And that's also why, you know, a lot of the public has been disenchanted in the last couple of years with certain things, because we've picked and chosen when we've conveniently wanted to maybe involve or engage the public on things or give information. And one of the things I've talked about repeatedly is staying engaged with the public. And people know me, you know, when they know me especially, they know that I'm going to be as honest and straightforward as I possibly can. And so I look forward to that maybe changing and improving a little bit. But, you know, going forward, we have things that we can work on and that can get better. And no matter how negative or how far back we are in certain things right now, my mindset is I'm here because we can be better. We can do better. And I want to help that.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we, I don't know if it's because of the Packers or because we were voted as like America's best city, but we don't know everything.
Yep.
And the school, I don't know what kind of travel budget you have, but you need to go to conferences and learn some things. We have people come to the new community shelter. We kind of got this homeless thing kind of figured out. We're almost, you know, I think we have a really good program. We kind of know what we're doing over there. And yet at mayor's conferences, like we're like brothers. We're just, you know, I mean, I talk about brothers, but like family. There's more, I think there's more women mayors than men. My point is that we really share information. Like I'm not worried about somebody from Indianapolis coming and taking my job. You know what I mean? And nor is she worried about me going down there and taking her job. And I just think that we can learn a lot by going to conferences and really leaning into what they're saying, and you need to present and they need to present. So I just hope we're doing that we're not living in this cloistered world, because we're not gonna move as quickly as we could.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I don't have experience in as a board member, is being able to communicate with other boards around the state and see what they're doing and how they're doing it and why. But I am aware of certain things, and I will give our district credit in this regard. I'm pretty aware of the fact that they have done that quite a bit in the past, but this is where it changes. We have to be willing to implement what we've seen and learned and can do and try it. The status quo of basically not really doing anything new and different has to change. And that's really where I think we need to take a big leap.
And I think with that said, I think as a leader, because we try something and it doesn't work, doesn't mean they're going to lose their job. Mm-hmm. I mean, give them credit for trying. You know what I mean? Just put the plan together and let's try it. And not everything works, but more stuff works than not. I mean, you're better off trying it and you're going to learn something in the process. So we tried a lot of stuff in the city and a lot of it worked.
Yeah. And there's a fine line there. Like, one of the things I've said, and I believe because of my experience in the district, is we keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. However, you know, But in the reality, there's a lot of different things, from curriculum to hiring practices to policies. We've actually changed too much, but it's just a lot of all the different changes and the constant change, which creates chaos too, was more or less still in the same vein. It was just a different version of the same. We need to do a wholesale change on a lot of different things and be willing to try it.
So last week, I was the state has their the finance committee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's made up 16 people. And they had these listening sessions, right? They had one in Kakana.
Yep.
People go down there and present what they were talking. I went down there and talked on behalf of the new community homeless shelter. There were tons of people down there. I think 400 or 500 people, and they talk for 2 minutes, and they're very strict with their 2 minutes, and they're very kind and very respectful. School choice came up a lot. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, school choice or vouchers? Because they're both different things.
School vouchers, I'm sorry.
Okay. You know, here's the deal. I don't like vouchers, especially the way they are right now, for the simple fact that the way the system's in place right now, it's not sustainable. It's just basic math. You know, the equations... equations and equation, the numbers have to balance on each side of it. And technically speaking, when overall over the course of many years, we've had a reduction in education funding, now we're trying to fund an additional system, it's just impossible. And then you really look at some of the nuances of how it's set up. It takes away disproportionately from different types of areas around our state, the way our districts are set up and the geographic areas. And I could break it down differently in more detail. But so it has... it has an outsized influence on some places versus others is the biggest problem. So,
but as a capitalist,
mm-hmm.
we believe in competition, and we think competition is good, mm-hmm. and it kind of makes... do you buy any part of that argument?
There's a lot.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
okay,
there's more we can cover on that.
Okay, we're going to come back to it after the break. We're here with Alex Minot, newly elected to the Green Bay School Board. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
I walk to the sound of my own drum. It goes, they go, we go. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, here we go. Feel it in my soul. Really need it so good. Gotta need it. Your body takes control. Really need
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrapping it up here, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt and our special in-house guest, Alex Minot. He's been recently elected to the Green Bay School Board. And we were talking earlier, you know, the school board is, I mean, that's our future. It's the largest part of your tax bill. It's 21,000 kids in greater Green Bay that he's responsible for. It's like I said, it's the future of our community. And Alex ran a couple of years ago last year and came up a little bit short, and he ran again this year and won. And his top priorities, and he's been consistent, is to improve the leadership. And no matter what you run for, whatever company you work for, I mean, you got to have good leadership to move the organization forward, to improve outcomes, and then to improve the budget. So you were elected to a 3-year term. That's going to go quick. Why don't we, in these next few minutes, tell me what you hope to accomplish in really the first year, second year? What are you looking forward to? You can't get it all done in a year, right? I mean,
yeah.
Although I'm a big believer in term limits, which, you know, I'm more of a 12-year guy, but what do you want to get done the first year?
It's going to take time, but you know, the first thing is, the first year, we need to find our new leader. We need to go about it differently, and then we need to find that person. And I'm looking forward to being part of that and changing how we find that person and what type of person we find.
And we talk about the new leader, talk about the superintendent.
Correct. Yep, exactly.
And that's an open position right now?
100%. It's filled with an interim, and there's been a plan in place with a transition. But, you know, ultimately, it all starts there. People and policies. That's the platform. That's the goal forward. There's policies and people that we and how we go about, you know, filling those, changing those that need to be addressed if we're gonna really start to see successes that everybody wants to see. We have to start with that leader, that year one. That's something that we're looking at hiring in the next 12 months. So really less than that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So that is number one. So I really wanna but part of all of this is I wanna change hopefully how the board operates. You know, at the end of the day, we have been operating the same way and having this a pretty similar mindset on what we're looking for and how we approach things, and the results are what they are. And I'm not trying to single any one person out, because that's just not the reality, but we have to start operating with a different mindset and a different sense of urgency. So I really want to work with people on the board and impress upon them and show them to the extent that I can how and why, and hopefully we can start to make some decisions that bear successful results.
Okay, I want to just, are you talking about changing the leadership of the board as well?
Well, that's up for vote every single year.
It is, huh?
So that's always on the table every year. But what I'm talking about, just a quick specific example, is we keep hiring search firms and profiling a particular type of principal or a superintendent that some people think is what the answer is. And I've been adamant, and many other teachers and educators and people in our district, that, you know, we need a different type of person for different reasons. And we need to go about hiring that person a different way so that we can find that person. And then we won't have people that keep getting fired or keep leaving or aren't successful or whatever. So year one is superintendent. That's huge. And then and also starting to also honestly have more open and honest and straightforward discussions about decisions we make on the board. Like many people in the community of all different backgrounds are tired. They have communicated that they feel the board is just a rubber stamp for stuff, and they're not. So I'm here because of that. Like, we need to really start digging deep into stuff instead of just passing it along and hoping things change on their own. 'Cause it's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, And then year one, two, and three, all throughout and continually, is revamping some of our policies and practices regarding staffing, regarding what happens in the classroom, and so on.
And I'm not saying Elon Musk knows everything, but when he was talking about education, I don't know if you watched that on TV, but they streamed that. But they're talking about education, and they asked him what he thought about the educational system in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm paraphrasing here, right? But I did watch it. He said, the problem is the expenses have been going up, but the expenses have been going up. The new money has been going to administration and not to the teachers. Is that true? Like, I don't follow your budget as close as I should. Follow the cities real close.
He made a lot of broad assertions, and I didn't listen to anything he said. But, you know, he doesn't really know anything about Green Bay School District. But if you're applying that comment to our district, there is reality to that. And anybody who knows the data of our district knows that. For example, under Michelle Langenfeld's tenure, there was, I think, a 73% increase in administrative staff. We have more administrative people at our district office building than typically similar size districts do. Now, we have cut down on some of that recently because our district has done well honoring that, but there's more to go.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing. We have some very drastic budget things coming in the next couple of years here between the federal government and our own budget situations, where we are likely going to need to make very hard just decisions that are not going to be fun, but we have to be willing to parse out what really impacts students and performance and what we're required to offer as a school district, and then what really doesn't. And we're going to have to make those decisions, and they're not fun, but, you know, so there are places to save money and to make those decisions. But
the support and the love is there for you. Your referendums pass,
you know,
and they're not cheap.
Well, here's the thing. Pretty much all of our referendums for the last 15 years haven't increased the taxes because our overall budget situation, our debt situation, has been so good. You're probably gonna think I'm crazy. We've actually under-asked in all of our referendums, and what I mean, and we have things that are still neglected that need to be taken care of that would really make the learning environment better on all fronts. And because we've always been so afraid of them failing, we've actually under asked for things we needed. And now we have referendum fatigue. So that's my concern going forward, when we will need to ask again, because it will need to happen.
Well, if you tie your referendums to these test score outcomes, I'm all in.
Well, here's the thing.
Do you know what I said? I mean, do you think that, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's like, look, you invest in this, we'll do this.
Well, we have an operational referendum that's coming due, and that's not an infrastructure project, and that is going to have a major impact on outcomes. I'll just say that.
Man, I'm glad you're on there. It's been fun to watch you. You gonna come back?
Sure, I will definitely come back, and I just plan on doing my best and trying to use all of my experience as best as I can.
All right, Alex Manoah, you know, thanks for running, thanks for winning, and we look forward to your progress and making an impact on the Green Bay School District.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. This is Leading Local with Jim Schmidt. We will see you next Sunday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.